Hey guys, it's Jessica
and Stacy,
and today we're going to be discussing last year and all the things that worked and didn't work in our homeschools and see what we want to take into next year. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so I feel like we should kind of like introduce say ourselves. Yeah, so it's not like weird. All right.
You go first.
All right, I'm Jessica. I have two kids. We have only been homeschooling. I think this is like probably our second year, but the first year that we've really like stuck with a solid routine, and I've really kind of gone hard with making sure we do it. Whereas the year previously, I was more laxed with it, and they were still young that I didn't want it to be super scheduled. So this is probably the first year that we really went for it. But I just thought it would be good to, I don't know, we always are listening and talking about podcasts that we're listening to about homeschool and how we get so many great ideas. I thought it would be good for us to do it too. I don't know. From there, I just kind of thought maybe next year will work out, but I saw that my sister was homeschooling and it looked like it was just going amazingly for her, and I got to see how she got to watch him learn, and watching her teach him how to read I thought was amazing. So I think that was kind of a big push for me to at least give it a try. So
now you love it and you're hooked.
So why did you start homeschooling?
Well, I was homeschooled for junior high and it was not exactly the best experience. I felt completely unprepared for high school, so I swore that I would never, ever, ever homeschool my kids. I thought it was the worst idea.
You were homeschooled with, like, our sisters, too, because we're sisters.
Yeah, so the sister that's closest to me in age, we overlapped a little bit for junior high for 1 year. So the first year I was home by myself, and then the second year she was with me. But I just didn't feel like I was learning anything. And so when I went into high school and realized that I was so far behind in math and, you know, had really no idea what was going on.
It's the worst, like going in and feeling like not prepared for it.
Yeah, I just felt stupid. And so I felt like homeschool had ruined my life. And why would I ever do that to my own children?
So what made you feel like you could do it differently?
Well, skip ahead to it's time to put my wild child into kindergarten, and they just transition into full-day kindergarten. And he's had no preschool, no experience whatsoever with any type of school. No sitting still, no listening to the teacher. And I just knew that I would be setting him up to fail if I sent him to full-day kindergarten.
Well, I think we're both, like, on the same page, like, even before, like, we both, like, really went into, like, the whole idea of homeschool. We were both on the same page of, like, not wanting to start any form of schooling until they were a little bit older. Like,
right.
We both were wanting those extra years at home.
Yeah, and just letting them be kids and play and without all the pressures of school.
Right. So then when you see, like, the more, like, mainstream that have already adjusted to, you know, like, sitting for longer periods of time and then thinking about our kids going into that.
Yeah.
That's a big
part. My kiddo loves to move all the time. So
he does.
I couldn't imagine him being at a desk for, you know, 7 hours. And so I was thinking, okay, well, you know, I'll just take on kindergarten. I can't mess that up too badly. Like, it won't put him further behind for first grade. And where we live, you didn't have to have kindergarten. It wasn't required. So I just thought I could get away with it. And then I just have him transition into first grade. But we loved it. And I loved having him home. And I loved learning alongside him. And so we're still doing it, and it's been about 4 years.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I think it's been 4 years.
Yeah. It's gone by so fast. What brought you to the decision to homeschool? Like, how did you get there?
Well, I think I think after trying to, like, awkwardly take my kid into a preschool where he just looked like he was so uncomfortable and he was just in a sea of other kids that were all uncomfortable and a teacher that was just so overwhelmed that I was like, I think this is probably not the space that he's going to be able to thrive in. And so it is so worth it when you see, like, all the things that you get to, like, watch, like, watching them understand reading and math. And then I love that we can, like, decide to have, like, a day out and just go and
lots of days out,
go hiking and get our nature on.
We live in such a beautiful place and we all like to get outside, and we have beaches here, we have rivers here, we have so many great things that we can experience, so we love to do that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just as important as the curriculum and schoolwork and all that.
Right. Those are always the best days. So, yes, that's about us.
Yeah, that's about it. So, tell us what worked this last year and what didn't.
Yeah, and then that gives you, like, the ability to, you know, show him all the different, all the things. And then, you know, I think a lot of times when you're in other schools, you don't get to see all of the different options and stuff. So I think that's awesome, too. So I, like, had this, like, amazing dream of, like, waking up every morning and, like, we would, like, juice. And then we would go and start meditating and doing yoga. And it would just be, like,
magical.
The most magical way to start our homeschool days. And although that can happen, like, once every blue moon, it's not something that's going to be able to happen every morning.
Yeah.
It slowly ended up being like, okay, we're just going to, like, get through a little bit of yoga. And some days I don't want to do the yoga. Some days my kids don't want to do the yoga. And so I kind of had to let go of this silly dream of, like, magical mornings of starting our day like that, because life happens and sometimes that's just not going to be how it works. But we have these great little yoga cards that keep it, like, short and easy. There's cute illustrations that even, like, my four-year-old can look at. So worked wise I did a little bit of, like, a math loop where we kind of rotated through Khan Academy, which is, like, an online program that works through the different grades of math with fun videos, and then they have, like, the exercise, which has been great. But I also wanted to implement, like, some type of, you know, like, a workbook in a sense, or something more hands-on. And so we did Life of Fred for a while, and that one wasn't working so great. I just feel like it was more of a struggle for him to get through each chapter. So we started doing math lessons for a living education. We just started at grade one, and we've been doing it for a couple of weeks now, and he's flying through the book because he's excited about it and it's something that he's really liking. So that was a huge win that I know that we'll want to keep doing next year too.
We've been trying the same things, Khan Academy and Life of Fred, and while it's been working pretty well, I think we might look at doing something different next year. I mean, we also add in a ton of like memory work, so we're constantly doing...
What do you do for memory work?
We were doing like skip counting, which like obviously helps with multiplication and things like that, and now we're working on like memorizing the multiplication facts, so that's taking up a lot of our time too. But we do fun things like Sudoku. We play the math dice game. We do like a lot of things to just work with numbers and keep it
fun. There's so many great ideas for like hands-on activities for numbers, like on Pinterest, like different games.
Right.
That I should start doing more of.
So we try to add some fun things in there too.
That's a good one.
But we might just do something totally different next year. So I haven't really thought about that, but I have a lot of ideas saved. We did, because my child is a social butterfly, I thought that would be a good idea to join two co-ops, because why not? But that definitely did not work. We bailed out of the last, 3 or 4 weeks of one of our co-ops, and it became too much, which is crazy because, you know, people take their kids to school every day, mm-hmm. and I could barely get ready 2 days a week, so it just didn't work for us.
Taking them to school is like dropping them off, like the co-op that we were doing, it's like you're in it, like helping with right. kids, and it's a lot more. Like right. I remember just the one co-op we were doing was like exhausting, so I can't imagine doing two of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we found one that works for us better than the other, mm-hmm. and we now know that two is a little too much for me, and I could even sense, like, in him, while he loves being around other kids, I think he felt maybe a little overwhelmed by it, too. So,
yeah,
we learned that that was a bit much for us.
Those two, like, one next year, you think?
Yeah, we're gonna stick with the one that we both like. He picked it, I picked it, so...
Nice.
And we're making you join it.
I am. I am. All right, let me think. So we started doing this thing. So it's actually just been recently, probably over the last, like, 3 months, that my youngest, my 4-year-old, has kind of been more interested in school. She's always kind of not been interested, and I didn't want it to be something she had to do. I wanted it to be something she kind of came into on her own. So just over the past few months, she's been more into doing different lessons with us. So sometimes the reading can be a little bit beyond her limits. And so we've been doing more of a kind of accumulating all of the reading we have for the day. And then they get to go into our playroom and pick out a different work, like either building blocks or Legos. And they just choose one and they bring it into the front room. And that's going to be their work that they build with and play with while we get our reading done. And it's been the best. We get through all of our reading and, like, they're into it. And even though they don't always seem like they're paying attention, they do. And I think it's just the fact that they're able to, you know, move their hands and have things in front of them that they're able to sit as long as they are and listen. So that is something I want to keep doing. So
that's awesome. That's, as I said, my child likes to move. So there have been so many studies that have come out saying, you know, that just because they're not, you know, sitting there still, mm-hmm. They're still retaining so much of the information.
I think you were the first one that you, like, sent me, like, a list of different things to, like, keep their hands busy while you're reading.
Right.
And that, yeah.
There's a lot of good ideas out there.
There is. There's a ton.
Wow. So I've been doing this daily checklist, and let me just be clear, we don't do homeschool daily. So saying daily checklist just means that, you know, the days that we do school, I bring out this little checklist. And I know a lot of people that I've read about do, like, just a spiral notebook, and they write down for the day what they're doing. That was just a lot of writing for me, so I decided to go in and print something out kind of like that just gave me kind of an outline. So I just fill in a few things for it, what we're going to focus on for the day, and that's just kind of kept us on task and not letting us forget anything. And my kind of philosophy for right now, since he isn't really into he has definitely has different interests, but there's not anything really that he's super hyper focused on. No real rabbit trails, like, for us to dive deep into.
Mm-hmm.
So I, at this point, I kind of just want to introduce him to a little bit of everything, and hopefully that will spark some interest. So
yeah, and then that gives you, like, the ability to, you know, show him all the different things. And then, you know, I think a lot of times when you're in other schools, you don't get to see all of the different options and stuff. So I think that's awesome too. So I, like, had this, like, amazing dream of, like, waking up every morning and, like, we would, like, juice, and then we would go and start meditating and doing yoga, and it would just be, like,
magical.
The most magical way to start our homeschool days. And although that can happen, like, once every blue moon, it's not something that's going to be able to happen every morning.
Yeah.
It slowly ended up being like, okay, we're just going to, like, get through a little bit of yoga. And some days I don't want to do the yoga. Some days my kids don't want to do the yoga. And so I kind of had to let go of this silly dream of, like, magical mornings of starting our day like that, because life happens and sometimes right. that's just not going to be how it works. But we have these great little yoga cards that keep it like short and easy, and there's cute illustrations that even like my 4-year-old can look at.
For sure. I tried to do time scheduling this last year with like, okay, we're gonna start school at this time and we're gonna have a break here, and that just did not work for us at all. So life happens and our schedule just seems to be very unpredictable. So we just kind of like decide when we're gonna start, when it works, and gather up all the things. We make sure to take breaks when, you know, we're getting kind of antsy or we've been at it for a long time. And we just kind of go more with the flow. But something that has been working really well is once we do our little devotional piece that we kind of start every time we do homeschooling, we kind of start with the devotional. After that, I let him choose what we do, kind of the order of things. And that was hard to let go of because I can be a little type A and I like things you in
type,
order.
You type A? Oh, wait.
Yeah. So, but now letting him pick has made it go so much smoother and he's happy about it. So once he picks a few fun things, I'll kind of suggest like picking one of the things he might not be so excited about, say math or reading or something like that. And so we'll throw one of those in to make sure that we don't end the day with all of the hard things. So it's worked really, really well for us.
And I'm sure like with like a strong-willed child, just having that ability to choose like right. what, like that's got to be such like a...
Yes, the yeah. more I can let him decide things, the easier things go for both of us.
That's how my 4-year-old is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotta love those strong-willed children.
Right. They love to be able to have the final say in things.
Oh, yeah.
So we did the beautiful feat for history this year, and I think for me, like, I didn't love history in high school, which is so sad because I don't know, I just felt like so much reading, and I feel like since we started beautiful feat, like the illustrations are so pretty and even like the wording is comprehensible enough that like my 4-year-old is still into it and my 7-year-old loves it, and I don't know, it's something that I think we'll be doing for a long time. It's been one of my favorites this year.
Yeah, so. They have the best books that they pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of the library is my homeschooling curriculum philosophy. So mm-hmm. I definitely use their book lists and things like that. But while Jessica is more into like purchasing things. Buying all the things. I've kind of taken the more frugal approach of like...
It's the smart approach. I just need to figure out how to do it. I don't know. Every time she like tells me all these books, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just bought that book. How did you get that at the library? But yes. Then there's like ways to like extend like your... Like, the time that you get to have them by being a teacher, right? Right.
You have to turn into, like, a library guru and learn how to, like, pick your books online.
Teach me your ways.
I'm gonna have to teach you. I've tried.
So it gives you more time with them, right?
Yes. You can, like, renew online. Mm-hmm. Once you get the hang of it, the library is, like, your best friend. And you can get so many things.
I think that was, like, a big hang up for me. I was like, what if, like, we're only halfway through and the book is due? Then I'm, like, gonna feel panicky about it, but...
Yeah, that happens even when you have, like, several months with a book. If things are just going slower and it's in one of your giant loops, like, happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just take a screenshot or a picture with my phone.
Mm.
We take a picture with my phone of where we are and then just take pictures of the books that we are super into and want to keep going with. And then we just recheck them out.
See, that Simple. Works. I need to get on that. Let me think here. We've been doing the Kiwi Crate too, which has been actually super fun because, I mean, there's so many different things out there right now for STEM and like science, and my kids love doing things like that. And sometimes I feel like the amount of prep it takes for me sometimes to try to put together like a fun science experiment for them, it's like a lot on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So having like this fun little crate that I get ordered.
Yeah, we did try the whole trading kids for the day to give each other like little breaks. I don't know how well that's worked.
I loved
it. We've been a little hit and miss, but it was good for me in the sense that I feel the same way, like putting together a project or, you know, all of those little things like science experiments or projects or art, those always seem to get pushed back for me, or we just get stuck on them in the loop because I never really feel up to it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just have the one kiddo. So, oh, everything else is like working so well. Why would I need to worry about it? But it gave me that push, like having them over. Mm-hmm. It gave me that push to prepare a little bit and get those science experiments done that I've been wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, like, it went really, really well.
And it's always more fun for, like, my kids to have, you know, cousins over, too, that get to do it with them. That always makes it more exciting. And then when my kids are over at her house, I get to kind of, prepare for the following week and then give myself a little bit of, like, a head start, too.
Right.
So, I don't know. Did you have anything else for...
I mean...
like works or didn't work?
No, I feel like we are doing good with our geography. Like, we just keep it super simple.
You know, I was just asking about geography. We need some new ideas for geography. We have so many great books, like the Maps book and...
Right.
Yeah.
We just kept it simple and we did Letters from Afar. Yes, I actually bought something, not from the library. And so we've been subscribing to those and... it's been great. So it just is a different place every month. Once we get the letter, we open it, which is always exciting when your kid gets mail addressed to them. And so we open it up and then we find it in our maps book and read the letter and then just kind of see what else is around in that area in our book. And we just keep it that simple.
Sounds for good. Sure. But I have to ask you, Stacey.
Yeah. Yes, Jessica.
What are you obsessing over? Obsessing is a strong word.
It is a very strong word.
Sometimes I feel like there are things that we just obsess over.
Yeah.
What are you obsessing over?
So right now we are watching the Chernobyl documentary.
Oh my gosh, we finished that.
Yeah, I'm really into it. I love like historical things like this. And it's so crazy to me when, like, you know, you spend 12 years in school. I literally have never heard of this. Like, I think I've heard the name mentioned somewhere, but definitely had none of the facts, none of the information. So that's always crazy to me to find out that I knew nothing about this. And it's such a huge thing. So
I know.
I'm really digging that. I just got a huge stack of books that I'm about to go through from the library.
We'll like see. Books for you?
Books
or
for me.
Yes.
And as a family, we just got back from Yellowstone and Glacier National Park.
And I'm so jealous of your trip. It looked so beautiful.
It was amazing. It was 12 days of camping, which, you know, the weather wasn't super cooperative, but we did have a blast. And my favorite part of all was every night we would get into the tent and we would start reading Swiss Family Robinson. And even though my husband was snoring about 2 minutes in most nights, it still is, like, going to make the best memory. Like, we are going to be able to laugh about him falling asleep, and we'll always remember, you know, what we were reading at that time. So I'm just loving that.
I know. Books are, like, I don't know. We just got so into this book that I had heard so much hype over, and we finally started to read it, and I think I might even be more obsessed with it than my kid, which is...
I love when that happens.
Ridiculous, but Pax has been a game changer. I know, I want to read the Swiss Family Robins, though, too.
It's good.
They have, like, a really, really old movie about it, too.
Yeah, it definitely was set back in the day, so some of the language is a little bit outdated, but it's really good. Good for, like, boys with a love of adventure, so...
Right. It's both of our boys are so into that.
And your girl.
Yeah, she's definitely keeping up with them these days.
Yeah. But what else are you obsessing over lately besides PAX?
We love PAX. I feel like we're going to go through it so fast. I'm kind of going to be bummed after. But I think we're going to start reading that book that you had told us about too after. Hatchet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The one that your husband and I both remember from school, which is rare to remember.
Funny to me because... Stacey had told me all about how she was reading this book that she used to love as a kid, and then my husband was like obsessed with this book and was trying. I was like, I feel like these are the same. Yeah. And they are.
And they were.
So that's definitely going to be our next one. I don't know. We've been doing a lot of hiking, like we were saying. We do, like, these little adventure days. And I have been wearing my same pair of Nike knit shoes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they have been used and abused. And I've been able to get them wet now that we're in the summer. And then we can hike in them, so... I think I'm about due to get a new pair, but I will forever
be a fan. Yeah, those have been good to you.
I know. I don't know. Anything else?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
First podcast in the books.
We did it.
We made it through.
All right. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.